Good morning. It is 7:42 here on the Mighty 690. Joining us in studio, we have Coffeyville City Manager Ben Brubaker. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Good morning. Beautiful day.
Hey, it sure is. And we have a meeting coming up this evening, 6:30 p.m. And what do we have coming up on the agenda here?
This is a short agenda. It has not been short for a very long time. So we appreciate when there's some small things to get done. So quickly in the consent agenda, we have some fees that we need to add to our fee schedule that are associated with working with the vet here in town, our animal shelters. We've continued to take on those operations. Then we've got a final plat of a replat. So we went out and made some changes to our Gibson Street. That's just south of the bowling alley where we're trying to develop some homes there. And then 709 and 701 over there on Wilson by City Hall, we're finishing off the approval of rezoning those to residential. That's, of course, that project that City has as a developer to put in about 30 units of housing into downtown. That takes us out of the consent agenda and down into our new business, where we just have two things. The first is purchase of two 2026 F-450 trucks. The trucks those we're replacing were in our capital improvement plan next year and the year after. The trucks that need to be replaced have got nearly $30,000 of repairs, having to do with the DEF systems of diesel trucks, which has been very frustrating to manage fleets like that. But they're 2012, the money's in there to replace those. And then we're going to talk about our water rate ordinances. We expect commission to make a decision. The recommendation will be that these rate ordinance, or this ordinance change of the rates, will go into play 1st of July. And so that will kick off here pretty quick. The average home user, I should say, the average residential customer uses about 3,500 gallons of water. And that's the largest majority of our users of water fit right into that category. And that's about a $12 a month increase to a water rate at that point. That represents about a 50% increase to the city's revenue in water. And then we'll do a second year, about 25% increase in revenue, and then recommending the third year just to be at 5%. And of course, we need to be looking at these every year. Every city commission, every city manager, every staff for the next 30 years should really be looking at these every couple of years to make sure we're heading towards that direction. Because one of the big projects behind increasing our water rates is we have a 53-year-old water plant, and that that needs to be replaced.
And I'm sure that's fresh on your mind here with the incident that happened here just a few days ago. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what happened with that? I know the crews were able to make some repairs, but can kind of bring us up to speed here.
Yeah, we have a contractor working on the hill out there by the water plant, replacing a water transmission line, the main lines that go up into Feaster Park where our water storage is. And they clipped a power line there, which flipped some breakers inside the water plant. And those breakers are from the late 60s, early 70s. And our teams could not get those to re-engage once the line was fixed. And so we were working on it throughout the day. Got real nervous about that about, I think it was around 3:30. And we said, look, we've worked all day, can't get it fixed, water is dropping, we're about to hit some pressure issues. Now, pressure issues in town start up at Feaster Park. So we take the golf course offline, that's a big water user up top there. But as that water rate gets lower and lower, that starts affecting more and more people. By around 5 p.m., we got one of the breakers on, could start pumping water. And so throughout the night, they were pumping that water, and so the next day we said, okay, you know, we're okay, still conserve if you can, water's filling back up. But within about 48 hours, that breaker failed again, so we were back in the same state, except for this time everybody was sleeping, so water wasn't used as much. And our crews worked through the night. People don't realize that you wake up and use that water, brush your teeth and get a drink and take a shower, that there was people working all night long to make sure you had that in the morning. So they did. And again, got a temporary fix with a breaker. We've since found a place we could order some breakers that we believe will work. But so I've told commissioners that we've been talking about this electrical system at the water plant for about 18 months and our concerns and our worry and the condition that it's in. And here, you know, 2 weeks before water rate conversations, it conveniently had a fail point. And so really scary, right on that verge of not being able to deliver water. And we serve 18,000 people, not just in Coffeyville, across 7 rural water districts. So really important to get that system up and going. So we had a temporary fix in place. We've got a short-term fix. We're working on a long-term. And on top of that, what our water rates should do is move us into the future to take care of this plant. Now, we also have a team of engineers out there that have been working for the last few months to give us the thumbs up or thumbs down on, can this water plant as a structure actually stand for the next 25 years until we want to replace it? And so when that answer is official, that will really help us make some other decisions. So right now, as we go and listen to commission and the proposed rates, that is assuming we have a water plant that can operate for the next 25 years. Now, we're going to have to go and put maybe $10 million into that plant over the next 5 to 6 years just to keep it through that time. The electrical here we need to replace is probably around $1 million. And we'll be going out to get a bond, essentially a loan that the city will pay from the rates for just one piece. There's several things we need that money for. We've got our aging water lines, the lead lines in town. We have to identify what those are. We have a plan, the state and feds say, by 2028 on replacement and start that project by end of 28. So there's a lot of things that this money is going to go towards in replacing lines and in making sure that we have strong infrastructure for the future.
Definitely seems to be some need here, so we'll see where that conversation goes here tonight.
Absolutely.
And we're speaking with Coffeyville City Manager Ben Brubaker here on the Mighty 690. And I know there has been kind of a lot of talk. We've had some meetings about the sales tax and the hospital sales tax specifically here, and all the conversation that goes into that. I know as a lot of times there's kind of swirling controversy and some misinformation on social media. Did you want to address anything related to this hospital tax here?
Yeah, I think the most important thing everybody to remember is this is not a new tax. This tax has been around for at least 20 years. CRMC has taken the benefit of most of that, rightfully so. We've got a good thriving hospital, and we hope that continues. Over the next 10 years, we came in and started looking at some adjustments. And so commission passed a 50% of that sales tax going to CRMC, specifically around their EMS service, 50% going to capital improvements. In community safety, we're talking, ADA sidewalk that has a major problem, or AEDs at city infrastructure buildings, or looking at our lifeguards. But the majority we're looking at is police and fire capital improvements. It costs a lot to replace their fleets and the equipment that they have. And, that is built into that general fund, but we've also been reducing our taxes. And so we have to find opportunities for other revenues to make sure we can continue to operate. So that's where that will go. So a continuation of a tax, the only thing that's changing is where the tax is going to. 50% of it will come into the city's general fund to support police, fire, some of those community safety projects that are needed.
Sure. So not only still benefiting the hospital, but still some first responders, kind of adjacent services that kind of all tie together.
Exactly.
All right, very good. Well, I know as well here we have a couple of minutes left here. There's also, as we love our controversies, still some more conversation on that 287G program. And I know you addressed, you had a video kind of talking a little bit about this. But some folks might not realize, but it does seem like, with the city's participation in this program actually gives a little bit more of a say in how we work with ICE, right?
Exactly. So let me just reference a few things. The city works with a variety of state and federal agencies, and anytime we do, there's usually a partnership agreement. our fire department is a regional hazmat team. They're a regional water team. When Sycamore tornadoes came a few weeks ago, they were up there. And there are funding we get for that, and there's partnership agreements for that. So this wasn't something new or different. The 287 program's been around a long time. But the important thing is you mentioned here, I was actually just listening on the news the other day. I think his name is Tom Homan. He's the director of Department of Homeland Security. He's talking about New York. And he was frustrated that the governor there in New York wanted to get rid of the 287 program in every community. And he says what's unfortunate about that is now instead of going into the jail system to remove criminals that should be here, we now have to go into the streets and find them. And that's where you see these large presences. We don't want that in Coffeyville. We don't want to go to the businesses, to our schools. We want to go around homes. So we have a partnership agreement, which effectively, in the course of their duties, when they interact with someone who's breaking the law or has a history of breaking the law, they will notify ICE, and ICE has a choice to come and pick folks up. So there's nothing changing on our end other than a notification and holding for someone for 48 hours if the federal government says that they have an interest there. This is about, yes, a partnership where ICE doesn't have to show up and go to businesses and go to schools and knocking on doors and looking for people, because we're here in the course of action, and when we do find, again, a criminal element, folks that are breaking the law, that's when ICE will interact with them. So we want to remove the scary part of what people see in the news.
Because there's kind of several almost different flavors of the participation that you can have with these different programs with Homeland Security. And I know the 287G is just kind of one of them. So there's different options. Give local jurisdictions, you know, how do you want to participate and look at that?
And then you can break it down further. So we're part of the task force model. And we've been very clear with Department of Homeland Security, ICE, since the beginning, where we've said we are not going to participate at this level. We're not going to go to schools. We're not going to go to business. We're not going to go looking for people. In the course of our officers' day-to-day work. So in the instance you're talking about, yeah, when you have a traffic violation, you might get pulled over. But many times that will just end because, look, an officer comes up, whether it's you or me or anyone else, and they're going to ID you. And part of that IDing determines who you are. And when it's hard to determine who you are, but if there's no criminal background, there's no major issues, no federal government's not looking for you, you go about your day just like any of the rest of us. I was pulled over for a blinker several months ago. There was no criminal history on me either, so I went about my day. But those who then have a criminal background or have significant issues that are happening while the officer is standing there, that would be a different story.
So they'll even get you.
They pulled me over too.
Yeah, that happens. So, hey, well, we do appreciate, you know, you talking on that a little bit. As we wrap up here, did want to talk a little bit about this HPO, High Performing Organization, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that, what you're doing with the city on this?
Yeah, about a year ago, we had KU come down and start with my leadership team. We've been really focusing on the vision and values of the city. But HPO models are really about continuous improvement. Gone are the days where our departments can just work in a silo by themselves. We have complex issues that face us, and these departments have to work together. And so fostering this connection at the city level, creating a set of visions and values that pushes our organization forward. We don't want to be stale. We want to be continuously improving. That goes from me. Really, that should affect those who we elect, our commissioners that are sitting, all of our staff, and our interactions with the community. Processes, policies, procedures, an idea of continuous improvement. We always want to be better and serve people in Coffeyville better.
We're speaking with Coffeyville City Manager Ben Brubaker here on our City Coffeyville Update segment, sir. And I know we've covered a lot of the ground, a lot of different topics here. Anything else you'd like to bring to our attention here today?
You know, the signs went up on the railroad tracks. It's amazing how big they look when you stand next to them, but then you stick them, you know, 30 feet in the air. They look a little smaller, but we're so happy to have those. Welcoming people passing through. We have people come through different directions, letting them know about the Dalton Fenders, or if you go over to 12th Street, you'll see Walter Johnson, a big train. it's just fun. It's exciting. And there's a lot of people participating in that effort. We want to really thank Watco and their participants there for helping us get that up there. It was very difficult to do, but they were gracious and patient with us as we were able to get in and our staff to come in and do that. The artist that painted that. Just a little thing that hopefully continues to make this change in this community that everybody calls home.
Well, that's right. I mean, it all really does add up. I mean, we've had a lot of work on the traffic boxes continuing along. It's really been fun to see the work on that. So just all these little things do add up.
Yeah.
So Coffeyville City Manager Ben Brubaker, we appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
And on the way next, we do have an update from Get Independence. Lisa Wilson will join us when the Independence Chamber of Commerce. That's on the way here on the Mighty 690. Right now, we're warming up to around 60 degrees here in downtown Coffeyville. We have a high expected around 80 today and some of the storm chances this evening.